Good afternoon. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. This is Reverend Mother Annie Chambers, along with my co-host,
Ian Slackman. How's everyone doing?
And this is the Truth Show.
Mm-hmm.
We are here today to shed some light on some of the truth in Baltimore City, the state of Maryland, and around the country.
Yes.
So, we're going to be talking about the governor's race.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about Donald Trump, Judge Kavanaugh.
Oh, my gosh.
And some other things, because, you know, we need to have these things put out. But we definitely need to deal with our governor's race right here in Baltimore City and in the state of Maryland.
We're talking about the police as well in Baltimore.
Yeah, okay. We'll be talking about Baltimore Police Department. Mm-hmm. They like to call themselves the finest. Well, we in trouble. If that's the best that we got, we in big trouble. So we'll be talking about this. And we're going to start with our co-host. My co-host, Ian. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, I mean, here's kind of what's on my mind, I think it's not getting a lot of coverage this week. I will say it is the 27th, I believe, of September, and as of the time of filming this, recording this, we do not know the results of whether or not the Republicans and the Senate has decided to confirm Judge Kavanaugh or not.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there. So, because we're talking about that, we don't know that yet. But anyway, I do want to just bring up the police for a second, because I think buried in the news coverage of this week was the fact that another neighborhood now in West Baltimore, and from what I understand is near Harlem Park, but it's not Harlem Park,
right,
has been, I don't know what you want to call it, quarantined, communally punished,
locked down.
Because a cop was shot in that neighborhood.
Yes.
And so what the police commissioner, the interim police commissioner, has said, interim police commissioner Toggle, has said, is that they are locking down that neighborhood, and they will be making robocalls to everyone over there until they figure out what's happened. And to me, this sounds exactly like what they did over at Harlem Park, where a police officer was shot, and they told everyone, you got to stay indoors. You can't come out of your house. You can't go back home in your neighborhood.
Right.
And they interviewed everyone. But they also knew what was going on. I mean, you know, they act like they're asking people what's going on. In reality, they don't want anyone to talk.
They already know what's going on. And people fear for their life, so they don't talk.
They don't want anyone to talk. I'll just say it like it is. They're locking down that neighborhood because they do not want people to speak about what is happening.
Right.
And, you know, when we saw with Detective Souter, when this happened, you know, other than saying he took his own life. Well, if he took his own life, why are you holding out a whole neighborhood for weeks, you know, at a time?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and obviously that's ridiculous. Why would you be on the job, in the middle of a job, searching some, you know, doing your job on the beat, and all of a sudden you decide to put a gun to your head? I mean, you could do that at home. You could do that in the car. You couldn't do that at the beach, you know, thinking about your last moments. You're just walking along doing your job, and boom.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to shoot myself.
Well, I mean, I just don't make any sense. I mean, come on. You believe that, I got a bridge to sell.
Yeah, they know that he didn't kill himself, but our police department is so corrupt at this time, Ian, that it's going to take a shake-up from the top.
From the top, that's right.
The very top of our police department. See, our police department was been so corrupt for so many years. So it is the history of Baltimore for all I know and see. I remember when there were very few or hardly none. There were none black policemen in Baltimore City.
Really? You remember that?
Yeah, I can remember that. Okay. And we fought and to integrate the police department.
Wow.
And the fire department.
Wow.
And the policemen, the black policemen that they got, they kept them in black areas.
Mm-hmm.
And they always, the training was, even if they partnered up with a white partner, was that you had to, you know, always follow his lead.
The white partner?
Yeah. And if you didn't,
wow.
See, you know that you was in trouble as a black police officer.
That's terrible.
So they finally moved some up to make them sergeants and stuff like that. But then they were the ones we call the kiss uppers.
Mm.
Okay. I remember back when on Sinclair Lane, you know, and that's
okay, yeah.
when they had on, for some reason they put all the Irish police over there, and black people couldn't go on Sinclair Lane. Did you know that?
No.
They if you tried to go over there without
a note.
From the person that you work for,
wow.
with their signature,
wow.
and a telephone number,
wow.
as a black person, oh. they take their sticks and beat the hell out you.
My gosh.
Okay? You couldn't go downtown because they had a lot of the Italian police officers downtown.
Wow.
And we couldn't go downtown. You don't cross over, what was that? Saratoga.
Wow.
Because then if you did that, you still got the hell beat out of you.
Jeez.
You know, it was a, you know, the N-word was used.
Mm.
And they tell you, get back where you belong.
Mm.
And the funniest thing about that at this time, you're going to laugh.
Okay.
You know, Jewish people couldn't do it either.
Are you kidding me? Get out of here.
Uh-uh. And we're talking about Baltimore City. There were places Jews could only go was with black folks.
Wow. Yeah.
It used to be a sign. It either said, no Jews, no niggas.
God damn.
Or even say, no niggas, no Jews.
Mm.
In this city.
Mm.
Right here in Baltimore. So, that's why I think it stresses black people when Jewish people turn from them, because we considered ourselves allies.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
In the civil rights movement, in the city and counties, it was the Jewish kids that came. It was some white kids that came, but really it was Jewish kids and stuff that came and helped with the city and the college students and the hostel. They really was. And some of the synagogues, they used to send their people out by the grove to fight with black people.
Wow.
So that's a history of what, you know, has happened, how things have changed now in the city. And which tell you the truth, I'm glad, because now you see all kinds of people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You see all kinds of people talking about different changes and stuff. But that's the way the Baltimore City Police Department decided to keep us separated.
Mm.
And mix. And now we got crooks of all colors and of all races.
That's right.
It don't matter, black, white, Italian, Irish, whoever, whatever. You're all, we got crooks of all colors and races.
It's terrible, so, yeah.
You know?
It is.
So we need a shake up from the very top.
And that's why, you know, I mean, we are running for governor, and
right.
one of the things we're calling for is a complete reset of the Baltimore City Police Department.
Right.
Because we're going right. to say it every time we come on this show or every time I'm in front of an audience. The Baltimore City Police Department is a state agency.
Right.
It is not a city agency. The mayor has the power to give extra money to the budget, and she has the power to put the police commissioner in,
but
and that's it. So
that's
the governor can suspend the whole police department. That's what we want to do. And then we want to make everyone reapply for the jobs.
Right.
They just and this actually gets simpler now, because they just released again the number one paid people in Baltimore City.
Right.
And who's the top again?
The police.
So you know who's abusing the overtime system.
Right, right.
You know who to fire.
Right.
It's not like it's some rocket science. You just go to the people that are spending all this extra money on overtime, and you tell them, you know, you obviously don't respect your boss. You're not asking him about overtime or her. You obviously don't respect the people, considering how much overtime you're putting in. It's time that you go. Because we can't, even if you believe the hype that we have to hire all these new police officers, even if you go for that, we can't afford anything else for the police department because we're spending so much money on certain individuals' overtime.
Right.
They're robbing us blind right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to do something about it. It's not complicated.
Right. It's not rocket science.
No.
We know that the police department is robbing the people of the city and the state blind.
And the state, that's right. That's right.
And the state blind. And the governor office should step in.
Not doing nothing. I mean, they're
not doing anything. They're not even addressing this issue. Neither one of the top candidates, as they like to call themselves, Ben Jealous or Hogan.
Yep.
Are addressing these issues.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're number one in murder.
That's right.
The state is number one. And we're going to continue. Well, the city.
The city.
Really, the Baltimore City.
Yeah.
Is number one. And we're going to continue to have this problem as long as we got an insufficient police department.
Right.
As long as we got insufficient candidates. And we got over in the setting over in the governor's mansion.
And all your,
we're going to have these problems.
And all your candidates talking about things that are going to address the issues of the people that are out there making a decision every day that they've got to feed their family, so they're going to go do a life of crime.
The people got to survive.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to really dig down deep and think about it. You got the police officers locking up a whole block of people because one of their cops are shot
right
out there. Then we spent millions of dollars on these cameras, the body cameras.
Right.
Right? And now they're saying, guess what? They can't recover the body camera footage because the body camera was shot. That's a bunch of BS. It's supposed to be bulletproof. It's not supposed to be something you can just shoot and be done with it. And then you ask yourself, why don't communities report? Right. Why don't communities feel they can trust the police? Well, the police are out there going to West Harlem, Harlem Park, and locking everyone in their house and telling them, you're not allowed to say anything about what happened to Detective Souter.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this is a real shame. This
the is police shame department of the city. Is out there. It's
a shame of the country. Definitely be a shame of the state.
Yeah. But this is what's happening. And it's so much corruption.
Yeah.
In this city.
Yeah.
There's the gangs that they like to talk about, but they don't tell that the policemen is the biggest gang.
That's proven. It's not just us sitting here saying random stuff. On paper, go to court documents, you could see it for yourself. It's proven that they are acting like a criminal enterprise.
Right. They're the biggest gang that we have in Baltimore City is in blue. The blue gang, as I call them, but
and all the Democrats,
they hold power over these young people. You go right down the street here from me; they're out there selling drugs.
That's right.
For the police department, who has an open air drug market?
That's right.
You feel comfortable enough, that you can stand out there and holler, 15's over here, 20's over here. 30, you know that ain't nobody that don't.
One of my friends came from Philly when we launched our campaign, and he looked outside over at Pennsylvania and North, and he said, I've never seen anything like this. And he went up to a police officer, and he said, why aren't you doing anything about this? And the guy said, well, what am I supposed to do, arrest everybody? I mean, that's the way they are.
Like we can't clean this corner.
They know every single hotspot in this city.
Yes, they know.
And they do,
but
and
that's
they just
their
say,
area.
Well, that's what we're doing.
They the ones got the young people out there selling the drugs. Mm-hmm. I will say this and say it to their face. Mm-hmm. They're the young ones got them out there. Because young people tell me, oh, I work for so-and-so.
Damn.
Even, you know, I work for this group of police. Damn. This district. Damn. I work out of Eastern. I work out of Western.
Damn.
Southeastern. Damn. You understand?
Yeah.
So they know they're not. They're covered. They're covered. And you know, I say this and I'll say it till I die. Ian, I lost 2 grandchildren to the gangs in the blue. 1 grandson never sold 1 thing in his life. He was trying to go to school, trying to get an education. He had just got a shallow scholarship to Johns Hopkins University.
Right.
And he wanted to be architecture and all of this. And he got his scholarship coming home from school on his birthday to, I'm his great-grandmother, to my daughter's house, right there on Gifford and 22nd, where parole and probation.
Wow.
Got his brains blowed out his head.
Oh, my God.
Now, we got witnesses, and she scared it, and then they scared her. They made her shut up. She was looking out her window on 22nd Street.
Right.
And said she seen the car come up.
Mm.
A carload of white men.
God
and
damn.
The man shot his brains out.
God.
Killed him right on that corner.
Mm.
But they killed the wrong brother.
Oh my God, are you serious?
They killed the wrong brother.
Jeez.
He had another brother that was in the gang, his older brother.
Oh my God.
A brother that was 2 years older than him, that was in the gang, that was selling drugs for the police department.
Right.
Because he gave out testimony. He wrote it all down and gave it to the fellow people. And that's how they've been able to catch some of the dope.
Wow.
And caught that, I can't think of his name now, that had all the drugs in his car. The policeman.
Yeah.
Well, my grandson used to work for him.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So he wanted to try to get out of all of that because he had just had a brand new baby girl. And he said he was on probation. He said that he was trying to make a deal for the feds to put him in witness protection.
Wow.
And the fellow people he was working with, he got it all written down. They got it. Because the fellow man talked to me himself.
Wow.
One of the fellow policemen.
My God.
Okay? Which was one they killed. First, they killed Victor Fenner, who was an innocent child. Never got into it.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was in the gang was Donatello Fenner.
Okay.
Okay? And he was trying to get it out.
Right.
Okay. When they found out they did not kill Don, the police raided my house within my daughter's house within 2 weeks.
My gosh.
Of Victor's death.
That's terrible.
And told her a policeman, a black policeman, stood in my daughter's house and told her, say, I guarantee you in 6 months. He won't be here.
Good Lord. Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Jeez.
And I stood there and heard him say it to my daughter.
That's hard.
7 months to the day that man said it, Don was dead.
Oh, my gosh.
They blowed his brains out, set him up beside Margaret Brent School once again. The lady that was looking out the window, this older white lady.
Yeah.
She seen when they set him by the school.
Was this near parole on probation again?
No, that was up by Margaret Brent. Is over, what is that?
No, 20, I know that.
Yeah, you know where that's at? Yeah. Well, they set him up by the school after they killed him. But she said they took him out the car. So they must have snatched him from somewhere else. And they set him up there. She called the police department when she seen it. The police department came out, called an ambulance. They took his body right over here to John Hopkins Hospital.
Yeah.
And started mutilating on it, taking parts.
What?
Yes. Trying to say he was a Jane Doe. They didn't know. Okay. One of the policemen got one of his buddies to tell my daughter that Donna had been shot. She was trying to, every hospital we call, go to, they didn't know nothing about it. John Hopkins.
Right.
When she said Margaret Brent, I said, It ain't, he ain't up there at Union Memorial.
Right.
So the next place they would take him is that. So I would not leave the hospital, me and my daughter, saying that we know he there. So then finally this little old white man come out. I don't know what he said. He was some kind of social something work or whatever. What's his name? Blah, blah, blah. Asking us a whole lot of questions. And then he said, did he have dreads? I said, yeah, my grandson had dreads. He had dreads. We got a Jane Doe down there.
Wow.
It was done, but they had went in his head.
Oh, my God.
They
Jesus.
Went into his head.
Oh,
we
my God.
We found out later that they had taken body parts.
That's disgusting. That's horrible.
Right there at John Hopkins Hospital. And till the day, they still have never know who killed either one of those young men.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Baltimore City Police Department.
You know, and the parole and probation, because, you know, I've canvassed up there. We've been up there a lot.
Yeah, police guards.
Everyone in that neighborhood says that, you know, there's one parole and probation site in the city.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Right.
So every gang member, every felon, everyone has to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a repeated problem in that neighborhood because it's right near an
elementary
school.
Right, it's right there.
It's near Dallas.
Right, Dallas F. Nichols.
So, you know, you've got hardened criminals going in and out of that area all the time. And oftentimes they see a rival from a gang or something like that and they start shooting.
Of course they're going to do it.
And on top of that, you know, we've been asking the community, like, that's the first request. We've been saying, let's put some cameras over there, you know, and some deterrents, and they don't do a damn thing.
But they will make a change now. Watch and see, because the neighborhood is changing.
It's changing very slowly and very peculiarly.
Because they can't fast change track.
No, they cannot.
They got rid of all the rehab houses.
That's right.
But on the other side of the street, you know that those are homeowners.
They are. They're doing a lot of work putting homeowners into that area.
They are homeowners. Those people own the day home.
Right.
You go around on 22nd Street, believe it or not, people own their home.
Right.
Can't fast track. They thought they could, once they get in and get out the scattered site houses,
right,
that they would be able to move out all the people.
Right.
But that's not the way it's going.
Scattersite public housing.
Right.
Yeah.
Scattersite was public housing.
They're trying to get rid of the public housing. They did get rid of the public housing.
Oh, all the public housing is gone.
And now there's some low income, you know, Section 8 there.
There's some Section 8. They can get those out too.
See, they're putting more homeowners.
Yeah.
But they're really expensive. We're talking $200,000, $150,000, $180,000.
Oh, that $1,000.
Right next to
$300,000.
Right next to people that I talked to, I've knocked on their door and they said, well, my house is worth nothing.
Right.
And I'm just trying to struggle and pay my taxes.
Right.
And I don't know what's going to happen when these richer people move in because I don't know if they're going to try to foreclose on me.
They even tried to make it a historic district at one time.
Yeah, they did.
They tried to make it a historic district. We fought that back. We fought because it you know, that's supposed to be where Goucher did a lot of, you know, I say he wasn't nothing but an old damn slave owner. And you know, because you know the old college is right around that area and stuff too. But
But I just want to get back to the police for a second before we change topics. Right. You know, I really want to make people understand this, that the governor, the current governor, I'm not talking about some potential governor, I'm talking about the current governor, can turn around tomorrow, he could fire those people on the police force that are taking our taxpayer dollars and spending it on themselves, and not making a... I don't care if you're the hardest working person in the world. You can't work every single day over 8 hours a day. You got to take a break. You got to not work for so much, and you got to not take so much
when
overtime.
When do you go home and watch?
Yeah. You can't take so much overtime.
When do you go home and eat?
That you're taking wages for new people.
But Ian, it's been proven that they've been lying about their overtime.
I'm aware it's a lie. I know it's a lie. But I'm just saying, for anyone listening that's a conservative that says all police are great, you know, these people are not. They are taking your money and they're giving it to the boats or their children. I don't know. They're buying bigger houses. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's not right.
Yeah. And the closer you're up the top, the more money.
Right.
And the more overtime you can get. And we need somebody to start at the top. We need to clear out all of these commissioners.
There's no other way to do it. You got to have every single one of those officers reapply for their job and commit that they're not going to keep doing what they're doing. And if the community needs to be in the room, and the community needs to have a say, this officer in my neighborhood is harassing me. This officer in my neighborhood was one of the ones putting us on lockdown. Right. I mean, you got the police commissioner right now saying lockdown's okay. So that right there, that's a problem. That guy's got to be fired.
Right.
Why Mayor Pugh appointed someone that was okay with locking down a whole neighborhood?
Oh, she's playing politics.
I don't understand.
She's following her commands. She's playing politics. Let's just be true. Every mayor we have had is playing politics with jobs like the police commissioner and the fire department, and she's playing politics.
But
people even sent a letter with a suggestion.
What's that?
Asking that she would bring in a policeman who started from the ground and has moved all the way up to lieutenant colonel.
Oh, yeah?
And that's Melvin Russell. Mm-hmm. That the people in the neighborhoods, community, and Baltimore City, and even in the prisons, respect.
Wow.
He can change some things around in this city.
Wow.
I have that much confidence in him. And you know, I have no confidence in the police department.
I'm talking about Melvin Russell.
I'm talking about Melvin, Lieutenant Colonel Melvin Russell. Melvin would be able to turn around a lot in this city. He knows, as a matter of fact, this is his city. But he's been a street officer.
Mm.
He's been a street officer from the beginning. And Melvin has worked with people and know people, and he know the street. And he know the people in the community.
Yeah.
And he has an idea. He know what's going on in his department.
That's right.
He know who to get rid of.
And he's not okay with some of these tactics.
Nope.
You know, that's what matters to me. You can't be doing stuff that's blatantly illegal. You cannot take a whole block of people and say, stay in your homes.
Right. No one coming out.
We're going to send you a robocall, and that's going to tell us who shot someone. It doesn't make any sense.
Use your brain, it doesn't even make any sense.
And you know what bothers me more than anything else is that you've got Republicans and conservatives out there saying, oh yeah, Larry Hogan, he's the best, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He's not doing anything about this situation. He is letting the state be ripped off by Baltimore City.
That's right.
And then you've got the Democrats out there saying, oh no, Ben Jealous, he's our guy. Ben Jealous is out there getting pictures taken with Mayor Pugh. He supported Mayor Pugh when she ran for mayor, and now he's there and she's at his side when he won the primary.
Right.
So you think he's going to sit there and say your choices are wrong? Gary Tuggle's got to go. He hasn't said a damn word about this.
He has not addressed the issues of crime in this city.
Not to mention the fact he's out there getting pictures taken with state's attorney Mosby.
Yeah.
Marilyn Mosby has publicly called Keith Davis's wife some sort of, I don't even want to repeat it.
Right.
Some sort of harlot or some sort of prostitute. I mean, it's just why don't we see the Baltimore City Council folks, all Democrats, delegation, Democrats, write a letter saying stop or demanding she be removed, asking for a recall. What kind of sense is this? That you can have someone call him, you can have a state's attorney calling people call prostitutes and
names
and stuff like that. And poor Keith Davis is going to be the fifth time he's going to be tried for the exact same thing. Throwing double jeopardy rules out the window, apparently. We don't need to worry about that.
Don't worry about that.
Don't apply. That's what's
happening.
So, I mean, you got to ask yourself, you have to take a serious look at this. Is what you're proposing actually going to make a difference when it comes to violence, crime, and everyday people, everyday poor and working class people that live in this city? Is it actually going to make a difference? Or are you just out there because you think Governor Hogan's a good guy to have a beer with? Or because you want to go smoke a joint with Ben Jealous?
Or Ben Jealous could just come out and denounce what's going on.
How can you not denounce what's going on?
He could come right out and disannounce what's going on.
Governor Hogan could denounce it. Governor Hogan isn't even a Democrat. He could say, as a Republican, I'm offended by Marilyn Mosby's activity.
Right. Why would she even say that?
Because she can.
Yes, that's what.
And because every Democrat just holds hands on election day and says kumbaya, and everything's going to be okay as long as you vote Democrat, and they're telling a lie.
But, you know, my thing is, we get upset when certain other people say things, then we should be very, I was offended and appalled when I heard what she said about that woman. You know, I might would have tried to approach her right up.
I guess I've seen on Twitter some very down ticket cats to say something negative about Marilyn Mosby once or twice.
Yeah.
But I've never seen them take any sort of formal action. Taken any sort of formal action.
See,
they could pick up the phone and call the ACLU and say, look at what she's doing to Keith Davis. You don't have anything to say about this?
Right.
They don't do anything like that.
They
would never do something official.
No. And I'm tired of black people playing black politics. Because that's all we just a pawn in the game if we let them do this.
That's right.
Because, the city is number one in Merida.
Right.
The city is one of the poorest cities in the United States.
Infrastructure is horrible.
Our schools are terrible.
Yup, that's right.
Listen who we got. We got a black mayor.
Yup.
Black police commissioner.
Yup.
Everybody at the top look like us.
All Democrats.
And look like us. Why in the hell y'all black people ain't waking up? Can't you see what's happening to you?
And for those people out there that are listening that are Democrats, that are thinking we're just, anti your party, I want you to understand something. Donald Trump said to the black community, what all do you have to lose because you let people like Mayor Pugh continue to do the terrible thing that she's doing?
Right.
You let Marilyn Mosby continue to do what's going on. You never make a formal motion. You never try to expose it. You never try to focus on it. There's no law about this. There's no petition about this. There's nothing.
We had all them black police commissioners.
So you're either going to hear it from us in the Green Party, or you're going to hear it from Donald Trump in the White House.
You got
a choice to make.
And he's saying, you ain't going to get no better no way. And so until we stand up and say to both parties, hell no, we will not accept this. But until we stand up and say, we don't care, we catching more hell in public housing right now.
That's right.
And we got the crazy doctor over there, the mad doctor.
No, Greg Carson. Yeah.
We got mad doctor. That's what I call him. Old Mad Ben. That's in the White House.
Yeah.
Making decisions in the hood.
Right.
For poor people. Now, we got this. Look at this, brothers and sisters. We got to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, go with the best deal for you.
Right.
That's what we got to do.
Right.
We got to go with the best deal. And it's certainly not what we got in this city now.
Right.
We homeless. Do you know that we are third in the homeless? Right, and I learned that yesterday.
Really? Third?
buried. Homeless families. Don't you see children walking the street? You see 10. Come out. We got to do something for the 10. Hell, the 10 ain't got nowhere to go, nothing to do. What else he gonna do? You don't close down all the recreation centers. You don't close the. We done got so bad in this city over greed. All we building is condominiums and all them big houses and, you know, not houses, but building all these big condominium buildings and stuff. We don't have homes for people to live
right.
in.
That's right.
We don't have no stability yep. for people. People can't afford to rent. People can't afford to even buy food
and we're
or
asking
medications
for, you know, and
for
all,
the season.
And all the policies I see are asking for crumbs.
Yes.
That have to fund the trust fund initiative, the housing
oh,
trust fund.
Oh, Lord, yes.
I mean, you basically are admitting that for years we had a trust fund that was never funded.
Right.
And now you're going to put a little bit of money in it. I mean, that's just
yeah.
sad. No, you
drop
got
a
you,
little change.
You,
and they still been fighting on it now for over, what, four years?
They've been fighting for it since I've been in the city.
Yeah. Okay, they've been fighting for the money to go in the trust fund. That don't make no sense.
No.
That don't make no sense when you see people laying on the street dying.
Right.
This is going to be the worst winter in the history of Baltimore, I believe. How many of us got to die before somebody take notice?
Because they're not. No one is focused on the poor or working class or everyday people. They care
right.
about rich voters, and
right.
that's the end of it. And so that's why we're the only.
Hollering, that's all they hollering yeah. and talking about. And poor people, we don't have many advocates.
Right.
There are few.
Right.
You know. I say this, and I say it openly,
right?
Because I feel
right.
that this is a elected official that has done his duty and continue to do his duty. And I'm talking about Councilman Zeke Cohen,
mm-hmm.
who has done his duty and continue to do his duty. I talk about people like Ian Slackman in the Green Party that's running for governor. Yes, I'm supporting him. Because Ian is still out there, even when he didn't win, when they played the race card.
Mm-hmm.
Ian still stood in the community and is still out here fighting in the community, okay?
And you know, I mean, people still talking about you, Reverend Chambers, because when I was on Midday, they knew our elected official for the Green Party in Maryland is you at the HUD, HUD RAB board. And that's such an important role, and, you know, everyone mm-hmm. there knew it.
Yeah.
They didn't know you were running with me on the ticket. I don't know why they forgot, but.
Yeah, but we've got to fight. We've got to
got
fight.
To.
When I went to HUD
got to.
And seen that they had Ben Carson
right.
sitting there like he was asleep 24/7, never answered a question. He had an assistant that
he
talked.
Needed a nap.
He had know. Somebody talking for him.
Oh, God.
He was like the dumbest sitting there, not oh. even running his mouth.
God damn.
He was sitting there like he was nodding out.
Wow.
But the woman was answering all the questions. Even when we went to jail over there in HUD.
Right.
We have got to fight this governor's race. In the state of Maryland,
yes,
is very, very important.
It is.
But not only just the governor's race, we're asking people all over the state to support the Green Party candidates
mm-hmm.
because we're trying to get in and make a difference. Once we're in there, we can make a difference. Get a green and you can see some green. That's what I've been saying.
We are talking about a basic income guarantee for every single resident in Baltimore and Maryland.
Right.
Because you know that people don't have to make that choice anymore.
Right.
You don't have to make that choice. Do I have to go on the corner today or do I have to go out right. and be a squeegee boy, you know,
right.
because
right.
I don't have any, my family has no money.
Right.
That's
right.
that's ridiculous. We got to do better than this.
Children selling drugs so their family can eat.
Yeah.
The little boy yeah. right down the street from me, I said to him, you know, why ain't you in school?
Yeah.
He said, we got to pay our rent this
month.
That's
terrible. That's just.
I got it, you know. Yeah. And people, y'all know we keep on talking about the children selling. Yeah. Y'all know old people sell drugs.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did know that. I saw someone's on back at Fells Point, you old man. Yeah.
I was shocked. I was truly shocked. Ian.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Yeah.
I'm 77. I don't call myself old. But anyway, I seen some old drug dealers.
Right.
I said, wait a minute. I had to really just study it.
Yeah.
That these old, they couldn't even, one had a walker. This is the truth. The man had a walker and was blind.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Out of one eye. Oh, he had a walker in his stick rolling about.
Oh, my God.
15. I got 15.
Oh, my God.
I got
God. 20. Damn.
I said, this is an old person.
That's terrible.
Selling drugs.
And you know, I mean, you go into Burger King, McDonald's, the people work until they're dead, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a disgrace. And right. And...
We got
when I think about we got a few minutes.
We got one more minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have to come back on another time, another show, and talk about this. But we're asking you to support Ian Slackman for governor and Annie Chambers for lieutenant governor.
That's right.
And support the Green Party candidates.
Yes.
This is Reverend Mother Annie Chambers saying, stay strong, brothers and sisters. Along with my co-host,
Ian Schlackman.
And we will see you on the next show.
Yes. Take it easy, y'all.